If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 15. And follow along as I read these verses, would you please? 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 15. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abides which he buildeth thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. May God's blessing be upon these verses of scripture I shared with you. Shall we bow in prayer? Father, as we come to this part of the service, we pray that you would quiet us. Take all the worries, the stress, what we're going to do, take them away from us. Open our hearts and our minds that we might receive the word of God and that we might be fed from your word. I pray that you would hide this pastor behind the cross. And as the words flow forth from my lips, might they be your words and not mine. Might they be the words of thus saith the Lord. And Lord, that each one of us would say, yes, speak to me. Build me up. Use me. Mold me. Make me. That I might be the right kind of builder that would bring honor and glory and praise unto you. Thank you for this church. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon pastor and people as they serve you together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Builders for eternity. It's kind of interesting how the Lord refers to Christians throughout the Word of God and how he compares them. He's compared Christians to a farmer. In Luke chapter 12, the rich farmer, what was he living for? He was living for pleasure, eat, drink, and be merry. But the Christian farmer should say, for me to live is Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he refers to the Christian as an athlete or a runner. And the counsel that's given this person is this. Don't stop. Keep going. Don't quit. And then in Ephesians 6, a Christian soldier, stand strong in the power of God's might. And now in 1 Corinthians 3, a builder, build for eternity. And the question is this: what type of a builder are you? For either you are a wise master builder or you are a foolish builder. The Corinthians had been comparing the merits of various workers. And Paul had to point out to them the true appraisal of all Christian workers. The place of service is a field of husbandry. It is a building to be built. It is a temple for fellowship and worship. But in all service, one thing is required. The watchword is faithfulness. God looks at a church a whole lot differently than what man does. My last church, I told you I pastored, started out with 7 adult people and 2 children. I had some pastors call me and tell me, close the door. It's not worth it. Lock the doors. But Scripture says, where what? 2 or 3 are gathered, there I am in the midst. See, man looks at numbers. God doesn't look at numbers. God looks at faithfulness. Faithfulness, commitment, dedication. Are you serving the Lord faithfully, dedicated, committed? You know, many Christians think that there is no place of real usefulness for them. This may be true if the only work to be done for God was to be full-time service, preaching, teaching, missionaries. But this passage of Scripture presents a many-sided program, needing workers of various talent. Do you realize that it's no accident that you're a part of Tabernacle Baptist Church? God has placed you here for a purpose, for a reason. When I took my church down in Illinois, I had an elderly lady come to me and say, Pastor Larry, I'm retired from the service of the Lord. She said, I've paid my dues. I've done this, I did that, I did that. Now I'm just going to sit back and I am going to just enjoy everything. I looked at her and I said, I don't find that in Scripture. I says, you know what? There is a job for you to do. And I would like to challenge you to do this job in this church while I'm pastor. Boy, she kind of took a couple steps backwards. I said, you know what that is? I want you to become a prayer warrior for me. I said, you've got the time. You can be a prayer warrior. And I said, furthermore, I'm making you a captain. Right off the bat, she didn't have to work her way up the ranks. I said, I want you to recruit other ladies and men in the church to be the same thing. Be a prayer warrior. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the church. Pray for the board. Pray that God will use this church and set it on fire for you. She took that challenge. She recruited others. And the Lord blessed that work. We're never too old or too retired to serve the Lord. This passage shows forth eternal rewards in the future. God's approval depends upon how faithfully we use our abilities for Him at the present time. Should I say that one more time? God's approval now depends upon how faithfully, and let's add those other words, dedicated, committed, we use our abilities for Him at the present time. As Christians, every one of us are builders for eternity. Therefore, we should take heed on how we build, because we are all part of that building called the church. God is the architect of this building. We are the husbandry, or the keepers. God has put us in trust of this building, His work, here on earth. And for this reason, we are to take heed how we therefore build upon, because Jesus Christ is the foundation. We are either a wise master builder or a careless builder. There was a contractor that had a young daughter. She fell in love with a young man. They were going to get married. So her dad offered this young man a job with his company, and he hired him. And he told this young man, "The first job I want you to do is I want you to build a house on your own. I will not look over your shoulders. I will not be there to watch what you're doing. It's all yours. Show me what you can do." So he started to build the house. Got the foundation laid, got the material out there. Then he got to thinking, "I need to impress my future father-in-law." So he started to cut corners. He bought inferior material. From the outside of that house, when he completed it, it looked beautiful. As he finished, he called his future father-in-law to the building site. Father-in-law looked at it, said, "It looks very nice. It looks very nice." He didn't know what was inside the material that had been used. And then he said something to his future son-in-law. He says, "This is your wedding gift from us to you." Don't you think he wished he'd used the best material and not worried about the budget? See, sometimes we as Christians do the same thing. We don't move ahead on faith. We need to watch how we build thereupon. The house was a wedding gift. But you know what? He wasn't too excited about it, because he knew where he had skipped and where he had cheated. We can't hide from God. As Christians, we need to take heed to be a very wise master builder. We're saved to serve. And I know so many people who take Luke chapter 19, verse 13, that says, "Occupy till I come." They take it literally. I'm saved, so I'm going to occupy a pew in the church, and that's all I'm going to do. But if they go back and look into the Greek and look at that phrase, occupy till I come, it really means this: stay busy till I come. Saved to serve is the proper model for every possessing Christian. The Christian must display godliness, and a three-prong emphasis on the believer's life is this. They all start with S: salvation, separation, and service. Praise the Lord. Thank God we've got Christians in the world today. Any amens? I don't think they'll throw you out if they say amen, will they?
No way.
Okay, good. Let's look at the Christian worker, verses 9 and 10. It says, for we are laborers together with God. What an honor it is to be a fellow worker with God himself. It's true, we are nothing without Christ. And not all Christians have a prominent work to do. But God doesn't look at the predominance. He rewards for your faithfulness. And I've always looked at it this way in every church I've pastored. Every person, regardless of what they do in the church, is important as who the pastor is. The janitor or the person who cleans the church is just as important as the pastor. The person who mows the yard outside and keeps the building clean and neat looking and that, they're important just as much as the board is important. Every one of us working together. And I used to be a very strong football fan until all of this other stuff happened, so I'm not watching it anymore. But the thing of it is, and I know the quarterback always gets the praise when they win the game. Man, he threw so many good passes. He threw this, he threw that, he got touchdowns. And he gets all the praise. But what about the center that hikes the ball? He couldn't have time to throw the ball if the center hadn't thrown it properly. Or the person that blocks. It takes an entire team, football team, to win a game, right? One person. Could you see one person playing every position? He throws the ball and he runs down the field and he catches the ball himself. Doesn't work. It takes a team. And it's the same way with the church. It takes an entire team to be successful. We're laborers together with God. Our reward is for faithfulness in doing what God has called us to do. The true greatness of a worker for God is that each one of us realizes that we are co-laborers with God himself. It's a holy privilege for us as finite creatures to be engaged in a divine human cooperative in which results are obtained beyond man's capacity to perform apart from God, while at the same time, God chooses not to perform alone. You know what a good example of that is? His first miracle that Jesus performed. Christ performed his first miracle at the wedding of Galilee. What did Jesus requests the servants to do? Fill the water pots, right? Why? Couldn't have Jesus just spoken and those water pots could have been filled with water? Sure, he could have. But he chose not to. He chose human beings to go fill the water pots first. He's chosen you to do the job that you are doing. The servants went and filled the water pots. That was a ministry to the people that were there at the wedding. But the one thing they could not do was change the water to wine. Only Christ could do that. The Lord could have filled the pots with water. He didn't. He used the servants. Christ gave them, the servants, the honor of being co-laboring with him in the first miracle. Whether in God's employ as a full-time service or in a partnership with him, we are working with an eternal God. God is our boss. We are the co-laborers with him. Look at verse 9 with me, will you please? And if you mark in your Bibles, which I hope you do, you look at the word ye. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Whenever you see the word ye, you can translate it into the pronoun you. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. God's husbandry. This is drawn from the field of agriculture, meaning a cultivated field. The Corinthian church was God's cultivated field and speaks of God's concern and the toil expected by God's servants to bring forth fruit. We need to bring forth fruit. Show growth in our Christian life. Then it says, ye are God's building. This is taken from agriculture. Excuse me, architects. Christians have been built by God. Even as an architect designs and superintends the building of a house. The Lord uses his tradesmen and servants. Can I ask you a question? What would happen if a fire destroyed Tabernacle Baptist Church or a tornado? Would Tabernacle Baptist Church cease to exist? No. Because the church is not bricks and mortar. The church is flesh and blood. You are the church. It's important. And God needs the people to do his work. The church is his. Why shouldn't it be? It was designed by God. It was purchased by his son. The foundation was laid by God in the incarnation, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there he provides the servants and graces needed for its protection. In one of my churches, I'd only been there about 3 weeks. One of the men on the board caught me out in the lobby of the church, or the foyer, and he asked me this question. Have you started looking for another church yet? that didn't quite resonate with me. And I said, no. I said, God's called me here, and I'm here as long as God wants me to be your shepherd. Then he took two steps back, and he looked at me, and he said, well, let's get something out in the open. This is my church. And if anybody leaves, the preacher leaves. I don't. I looked at him. I'm a younger guy. This is my second church. I said, his name was Fred. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do, Fred. I'll make you a bargain. If I can find it in the Bible where Fred shed his blood for this church, I'll start preaching that from the pulpit. But I said, what I find in my Bible is that Jesus Christ purchased the church. The church is his. It's not the pastor's. It's not the people's. It's the Lord's church. And we are just co-workers with him. I left, turned around and left. But sad to say, he was a thorn in my flesh the entire time I pastored that church. The church doesn't belong to anybody but the Lord. The Lord has placed us in these particular churches because you have a talent that God wants you to use right here. You're coming up to next month for your annual meeting. There's going to be positions that need to be filled. Are you willing to step up, be faithful, committed, dedicated, and serve in those positions? God has you here for a purpose. The church is his. Paul was a wise master builder, verse 10. And if you underline in your Bible, underline those three words, a wise master builder. Paul referred to himself as that, a wise master builder. Skillful. He wasn't boasting he was more capable, but rather that God had chosen him to begin the work at Corinth. Did you notice the phrase I used? He recognized that God had chosen him to begin the work at Corinth. The architect or master builder, he draws plans for a projected building. He lays the foundation. Other people may come and build upon the plan and the foundation. Paul's work in building was the laying of the foundation. That was done once and for all. It was not for others to lay a new foundation, but to build upon the one that was already laid. But it says, take heed how he buildeth thereupon. That passage indicates every man has a part. You have a part in building this church. You have a part in building the lives of other Christians. And as a member of a local church, you have a part in developing the spiritual structure of this group. That's why you are considered a builder for eternity. All of us do well to take heed how we build. Look at the Christian's foundation. Verse 11. The eternal divine Son of God is the only foundation for salvation, for the building of a proper Christian life, and for the church. There is one foundation. That's the rock, Jesus Christ. Any building without a foundation or a wrong one is doomed. Any building without that foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ. You know, I get a big kick out of these big fancy churches that the pastor says, I'm the founder and senior pastor. What foundation is he laying? I'm the founder. Who's the founder of the church? Jesus Christ is the founder. We're just the co-worker. God himself reveals the foundation. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16 shares, Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. A Christian's life, a true biblical church, can be built only upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And then look at the superstructure. Although there can only be one foundation, it is possible for a variety of material to build a superstructure. The materials that are costly and permanent. Every believer must choose materials with which they build on the foundation of Christ. This is the type and value and superstructure depends on you. What's the durable material? Gold, silver, precious stones. They're costly. They're not easily obtained, but provides a beautiful permanent structure. The finest foundation deserves the finest material. Since we have such a wonderful foundation, it would not be wise to place an inferior building on it. But some Christians choose to use wood, hay, and stubble. These materials are low in cost. They're easily obtained. They are far from permanent. Just the opposite of the first class. By no means is this type of building worthy of the foundation. Remember, we're builders for eternity, and only the lasting materials should be placed upon the foundation of Jesus Christ in our lives. The primary reference is to the Christian workers, co-laborers with God in his cultivated field. But notice, in verse 9, you go back up and you look, was used the pronoun we, referring to believers, to ye, you personally, without question, referring to the individual believer. Each and every believer is a builder, and we are faced with a choice of material that we choose to build upon. Look at the Christian judgment. There's a time of testing, verses 13 to 15. The day shall declare it. There comes a time of testing for all buildings. The Christian's worker, the work that they have done here on earth, will be tried. Not the worker themselves, but their work, their faithfulness, commitment, dedication. They will be tried. The judgment has to do with a believer's reward. What a responsibility we have to be good builders for eternity, don't we? Something that's really a big responsibility on our behalf. And then there's a reward, verse 14. He shall receive a reward. The nature of the reward is a wage for the kind of material used in building. The quality and character of our Christian testimony This may refer to the crowns the Lord will give to the believers, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. But there also be a time of loss. Christian service that's based on pride and selfish ambitions or fleshly motivations will be discredited and not survive the fire. There was a young man working for a stone company, which was preparing a pillar for one of the biggest buildings going to be built in the city, was given the job of carving this pillar because the master stonemason became ill. This young man had never been given that type of responsibility before. But this young man said, I will do the job the best of my ability. He didn't know where the pillar was going to be placed. The job was completed. It was approved. He went on to do other work. And one day as he came through the doors of this big building in the downtown city, he walked into the foyer or the lobby, and he stood there. His eyes got as wide as marbles, and his mouth fell open. He noticed the pillar that he had carved was in the center of this big, brand new building. And as he stood there, he exclaimed, "That's my work!" And then as an afterthought, he said this next statement, "Thank God I did my job well." Remember this. The Church of Jesus Christ is like an effective team that works enthusiastically together. Each one, a Christian builder, making a contribution to accomplish the mission God has called them to do together as a body of believers. The Christian worker are laborers together with God. The Christian foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Christian superstructure is gold, silver, and precious stone. For there will be a time of testings, a time of rewards given, and a time of rewards lost. When we stand before Christ, might we hear him proclaim, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." And when you hear those words, you can take two steps backwards, just like this man in the building, and say, "Praise God, I did the job well." God wants us to be faithful, dedicated, committed Christians to serving him. Right here, God has a job for each of you to do. Do it well for the honor and glory of the Lord. We're going to